Your Town on the KBND Morning News with County Commissioner Patty Adair. Now, yesterday's meeting, able to go over some of the upcoming priorities for looking ahead towards the 2026 session. What is the county looking for from the state?
Well, first we'll have to see what happens with the transportation bill, if that actually passes.
That's going to be part of my second question.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, well, you know, that's what I've been incredibly concerned about, because honestly, Oregonians don't need higher gas tax. We, I believe, had record gas tax revenue last year, almost $600 million. Honestly, the director needs, his position needs to be evaluated, in my humble opinion. And it hasn't happened yet. And I'm just, I'll wait and see if they really do have the vote or not next week. But, you know, our parole and probation department has been incredibly impacted by the cuts in funding for them. You want people, if they've served their time and are out and are still being followed on through the parole staff, that's actually happening. And the cost the state is only allowing is $15 a day, whereas it's actually costing us over $18 a day. So there's an enormous shortfall there. And we're really worried that we need to be able to pick that up a little bit. And yet you heard the governor saying revenues are going to be down, I believe, $300 and some million. And so therefore, she's saying cut back. So can we not ask for any more money? I already asked one of our representatives if we could do some more Juniper money, because we, you know, getting $5.2 million for seven counties is just a real drop in the bucket. And I'm hoping that project, at least if we don't get more funding for that this year, that we will get that in 2027. So that's one of my issues. And then, of course, behavioral health. We currently at Deer Ridge, I just visited that a month ago. And of the
Deer Ridge Correctional Facility.
Mm-hmm, yes. Of the over 1,000 inmates, 650 of those inmates have mental illness issues, per the superintendent. That percentage has really gone up since she started 25 years ago. There is enormous impact, but Deer Ridge is still half empty. And would I, as I have spoken for it over several years now, if we could just use that half empty facility for mental health and substance use disorder for people that really, truly do need help. It's a state asset, and it's in immaculate shape, but if we could just use it just to start something, because we're building a couple of facilities in Redmond right now, but unfortunately they're limited to 16 beds. The secure residential facility through Jackson Home, you know, we desperately do need it, but we need more. And then the child's facility will be for 15 children, and you know, that will help alleviate a lot of parents having to go to Portland. You know, if they could stay here, you know, even serving Eastern Oregon, it would be so much easier to drive around Redmond than drive around Portland.
Well, and that's been your argument, I know,
yes,
for a while now.
Yes, I keep repeating it.
On this side of the mountains.
Yes, I am so glad that it is happening, especially for children. But we need more beds. That secure residential facility 16 bed limit is a rule from 1963. And when I went to DC in March, that was one of my 3 points when I was meeting with a lot of congressional people, that I don't want to take out the Snake River dams. Those will freeze to death if those dams are gone. And we've got to do more logging. I grew up in Heppner, where Kinzu Mill was there, and of course they're no longer there. And the third thing on my memo was that 16 bed rule. Please, you know, having 84 beds would be so much more cost effective.
Talking about mental health and behavioral health, got a memo from Deschutes County Sheriff's Office. They're having another one of their deflection program,
yes,
graduations today. I know that's something also that you've been,
right,
on top of.
Yes, I so appreciate that program. It is very successful, and we are having a graduation. So, yeah, it's great to know that, you know, it's small differences, but everyone counts. So, you know, it's everything is a battle. Our Veterans Village has been awesome. That program has been in existence for a couple years now, and we've actually had 40 veterans move on to housing. Unbelievable.
That's huge.
Currently, we even have 3 women who have served our country are at the at the wonderful operation, and they do finally have the greenhouse up. It's up. It's been there on the ground for a couple years, and now it's they're going to finally get that greenhouse going, and I think that's going to be such a positive project for people that are living there to have their own greenhouse.
Absolutely. We're in here with Deschutes County Commissioner Patty Adair. Again, some of those legislative priorities. Now, mentioned the transportation tax that the legislature is hopefully going to be voting on next week.
Yes.
Get this done. You were opposed to it, are opposed to it. Some of the alternatives, though, what do you think that, I mean, we need money for road repairs and stuff. So where are you thinking that we can do some of this?
Well, someone who was a federal whistleblower did an analysis of what they were doing with the funding in ODOT, and significant portions of money that were supposed to go to maintenance went elsewhere. And I'm just waiting for more feedback on that investigation. But just seeing where the money really is going and where it should be going, it's really been unfortunate. And projects that get out of hand. In fact, the Terrebonne project that Deschutes County has kept going, we had to add an additional $5 million to that. But the wonderful news is the sewer system is being done in combination with this. Can you imagine, Mike, that two things are going to happen at the same time?
So, that doesn't sound like government, Patty.
No, it doesn't. But it's really it's a great opportunity for the north end of Deschutes County to clean up, give people from Crooked River Ranch the opportunity to safely go north on Highway 97. So can't wait for that dog bone to be done.
Well, you just brought up there, again, we're with Commissioner Patty Adair, your town on the KBND Morning News, safety in Crooked River Ranch and in that general area, some of the fire mitigation projects and just firefighting efforts that you've been working on. Talk about some of that.
Okay. Well, I just had an almost two-hour meeting with Ted Netter, who is the chief operator for the Rangeland Fire Protection Group Association in Lower Bridge. And Ted came and spoke with me on several things that he really needs. And one of them was getting a bulldozer, or I call it a caterpillar. And I would love to get that with at least getting one with a 12-foot blade so that Ted actually has that capacity to go out and stop the fire when they're small. That could really help. That could reduce costs. I know our sheriff's office had a huge allocation to overtime for all the tremendous work that they did, keeping everyone safe. You know, we lost a few major houses for people, and that's always a tragedy. But getting there, getting on the fire first, and as Ted said, Patty, I know you'll think out of the box. And you know what? Hopefully I will, and hopefully I can get a fundraiser in order to get that bulldozer funded for that group. Ted is the chair for 18 million acres in Oregon. We have 28 rangeland fire protection groups, and they do amazing. They don't get paid. They do amazing, amazing work, and I am so appreciative. He lives down the road on McKenzie Canyon, so it's he sees what's happening.
Well, I was just going to say, that's the exact phrase, when a fire is right in a community area, as the flat fire was, that is something that folks can see happening versus something that's out in the woods somewhere that you only hear about. We talk about it, but you can't actually see it. Do you think that makes a difference when people can see that this danger was here, the
right.
Level 3, the go now evacuations in place, all of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went from at 2:45 on Friday to, I'm just fine, to 8 p.m. I was level 3. So, yes, it was. You see it. You see the smoke. And you just know the danger and the fact that we had a lot of junipers that were burning further compound. You know, they're like Roman candles. They explode. They're very flammable. And if you have a temper of junipers, it's really something that needs to be cleaned up. So that's why I'm happy we did get that $5.2 million for juniper removal, because you know how I feel about them. They are sucking up 55 billion gallons of water a year. In Central Oregon, we have, I believe, 6 million junipers that could safely be taken out, and that would still leave a million.
When is that going to start? Again, we're in here with Patty Adair. She has been, since I remember this, for years now, you have been trying to get rid of these junipers They need to go. They are not good for anything here, as far as I know. I could be wrong. They might be providing something. The bad outweighs the good, though, right?
Well, yes. If you keep four of them together on an acre, so if there is a blizzard or something, that can give wildlife protection. But they actually, they'll stop, things from growing, grasses from growing that actually feed the animals, the wildlife. So there aren't many good things that junipers really do, and they're incredibly invasive. If you look at pictures from 80 years ago between Sisters and Redmond, you won't see any. So it's been...
And they're a thirsty plant too,
right? Oh, very thirsty. It's like 25 to 30, 40 gallons a day, and they actually consume all year long. They can cut back if it's a serious drought. They will cut back. But, you see the studies that have come out of Crook County, and it's really impressive what juniper removal will do to our environment.
My nose is itching just talking about them with the allergies,
right.
Too.
Allergies. I forgot about those.
So I'm finally living here over 20 years now. I'm finally kind of getting, acclimated to it. But, no, it killed me for a long time, those juniper allergies.
No, they are so – yes. Usually it takes a while, and then they pop in. So I'm glad – it's 20 years and they'll go away?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So
that's good to
know. A little
know.
Better now, 20 years – 20-some years later.
I'm just hoping – there's just so many reasons why – they need to be under control. And honestly, people need to clean up their driveways. And remember, we had over 21,000 properties with high risk for fire danger. And so that's why I really, really worked hard on getting that funding for junipers. And that funding should be available the first of next year. Oh, and I do have other good news. Mariana, who is the head of emergency management for the state, came up to me at the Sisters Fire meeting, and she has funding for me for goats.
Oh, very good.
They do an incredible job. And we have a herd of 500 goats and a few sheep in Terrebonne that are out there available to be doing this cleanup work. Because, the grasses, if they dry out in the summer, they get incredibly flammable. Yep. And then you've got that fire zipping through grasses. So there is going to be funding available for them next year.
Some hungry goats to take care of us.
I called her. I can't tell you. She's wonderful. Her in-laws live down on Hurtley Ranch Road. So she's incredibly familiar with the terrain.
Very good. Patty Adair, Deschutes County Commissioner, joining us on Your Town on the KBND Morning News. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.